Since it's a teaching evening, you can remain seated, but since we have such a small portion of scriptures, I want to go ahead and read them before we look at them tonight. Remember, this series of Malachi is Finding Your Fire, which fits aptly with moving into a revival evening, a revival week of evenings of seeking the Lord. And we're just going to begin with verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, and yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You know, it's never a really good idea to argue with the Lord. Verse 14. Ye have said it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they feared the Lord and spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between righteousness, the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. There's going to be a day when the difference is made known. I want to take this group of scriptures, and under this title tonight, I want us to look at them and see what God is saying. The title would be, Does It Pay? Does it pay? These people says there is no profit in serving God. And so the question tonight is, does it pay? You know, Sunday, it's been mentioned already several times, we had some great services and many folks really prayed. They really sought God. They really got touched of God in the services. But here's the reality of the thing. On Monday morning, many of those people who prayed faced the same problems, dealt with the same issues. Noticed on Monday that some of their prayers had not been answered. And though they may have never articulated it, I'm sure it passed through their mind. It passed through their mind. What good did those good services do? What good was there that I really prayed yesterday? What good came out of my feeling the presence of the Lord? Already I've had, listen to this, already this week I've had two individuals be honest enough with me to make statements like, I've been praying and praying about a certain need, and either it's not been answered or it's getting worse, and they've been honest enough to ask the question, what profit is there in really praying? Now listen, if you're asking those questions, you're in good company, because the psalmist asked those questions. And the prophets ask those questions. And those questions are in our text tonight. What good does it do? I'm going to put just a little statement here of where we're going. You see, the problem is we have such a limited perspective. We see so little of the big picture that it appears that nothing is happening and nothing will ever happen. We can't have such a small perspective of what's going on. We're going to find out God is doing something, and it does pay, and there is profit. Amen. And so here's how it ties into the theme tonight. If you or I become convinced that it doesn't pay to serve God, it's because we've lost the fire in our worship. Well, let me put it this way. If we do not have fire in our worship, we will soon come to the place we're convinced it doesn't pay to serve God. Listen to what I just said, because it's so true. When people begin to lose their enthusiasm, their zeal, their zest, their fire for worship and serving God and praying and singing the songs, they're not far of coming to a place that they think to themselves, what good does it do to go to church? What good does it do to have a time of devotion? What good does it do to pray? And so Malachi ties these things together. When we lose our fire, we start believing that there's no profit in serving God. I want us to look at these verses. First of all, we see blaming God. The people were blaming God. You see, once again, the people had made an accusation, and then when God called them on it, they denied. They argued that they thought that way or said that. They acted all innocent. They acted clueless. God, what are you talking about? But notice in verse 13, God said, your words have been stout against me. The word stout literally means terrible, awful. God said, you've said awful things about me. You've said terrible things about me. And now you're acting innocent and said, how did we say anything against you? You see, it's one thing to question, does it pay serving God? That's understandable. We all have those moments. Some of you may not admit it, but if you would really think about it, we've all had the moments we wonder, does it really pay to live this way? Does it really pay to serve God? That's not the stout word. That's not the terrible thing to say about God, to question whether it pays to serve God. What these people did is they took it to another level. They blamed God for things not working out. They turned their animosity and faulted God because things did not work out in their behalf. Yes, we may ask the question, why is it seeming to work out? But we're in trouble. We begin to question God's motives. You see, it's easy to think it doesn't pay to serve God. But when you move to another step and accuse God of not being good and God not being caring and God not being involved in your life. You see, it always happens this way when people are not right with God. You see, that was the whole problem. These Israelites, they didn't want to live right. They didn't want to put their heart in worship. They didn't want to follow God's commands. And then when things didn't work out in their life, they wanted to blame God because everything had turned sour. But it's always that way. When people do not wholeheartedly serve God, when they don't follow His commands and their world falls apart, amen, they've been serving God with alternative motives, so they begin to turn the blame against God and make themselves a victim. I'm a victim of serving God. I put my trust in Him. I prayed and things are turning bad. God, there's something wrong with you. And if they don't blame God, they blame the people of God, or they blame the servants of God, or they blame the priest of God. So they were blaming God. Secondly, tonight, Malachi talks about their getting it all wrong. How did they get it wrong? You know, once you've read these words of Malachi, you probably won't ever forget it. And I believe the reason you don't forget these words is because this is really where we come. We come to this place. You said it's vain to serve God. You said, what profit is it that we've kept His commandments? We're mournful. We're sad. What good does it do? What's the reward? I want you to notice one thing, and this being a Bible study, we have time to stop and think about this, but when you see ye, that means you all have said. That's a special word for said in Hebrew. It doesn't mean they said it to God. It means they were chatting it up with one another. They were having a powwow. And what they were doing, they were inflaming one another with their skepticism. They one of them would say, well, I doubt this about God. And that got somebody else stirred up. Yeah, well, I doubt this. And someone would say, well, why is it that God hasn't done this and God hasn't done that? And then encouraged somebody else to say, yeah, and He hasn't done this either. And this hasn't worked. And so they were just having this powwow, talking to one another. And they're getting everybody incited to this fervent pitch of skepticism and unbelief because they're chatting up. This is so important for later on tonight. By getting together and expressing their doubts and their grievances, they were just stirring something up that was consuming them, and it was turning them against God, a powwow against the Lord. We've done all this, and God's done nothing. They built a case against God, and they reinforced one another's doubts. They said one to another, but here's the problem. They got the conclusion wrong. For all their talking, they came to the wrong conclusion. Here it is in verse 15. Since they saw no profit in serving God, they said, wait a minute. The profit isn't in being righteous. The profit's in being wicked. Look at the proud around us. They look happy. Look at those that work wickedness around us. They look set up. In other words, God set them up. God's got everything going for them. And they that tempt God, in other words, those that come against his commandments, it looks like they get delivered. They get a free pass. See, the conclusion, here's the jump. It doesn't pay to serve God. Therefore, it pays to live wickedly. That's the wrong conclusion they came to. It pays to be wicked. You got to understand something. Does anyone remember, just this is Bible study, I'll just tell you, does anyone remember what Malachi had just talked about before we got to these verses? Well, does anyone remember? Paying your tithes. And what did he say? He said, prove me, pay your tithes, and prove me and see if I don't open the windows of heaven and bless you. So you got to understand this as a context, because some of those took the wrong attitude. I'm not going to go back into that. But they said, that's how we're going to get ahead. We'll pay our tithes, and God's going to bless our socks off, and we'll get rich, and we'll be prosperous, and yada, yada, yada. So they tried paying their tithes, but they had the wrong motive. They had the wrong desire. And so they paid their tithes, and their finances got worse. They paid their tithes, and their mule died. They paid their tithes, and their crops failed. And now they're really upset with God. We tried paying our tithes, and everything went sour. And that old wicked person, you know, the Joneses next door, they don't even go to church. And I know they don't pay their tithes. And he got a raise, and they bought a new car, and they had a bumper crop. Look how they're reasoning. And so they concluded that it might be better to live wickedly. You know, that's what happens when God's people get disgruntled and disillusioned. They think the grass is greener on the other side. I've served God in vain, and maybe I should just live wickedly because they seem blessed. And that's the only conclusion you can come to. If it doesn't pay to serve God, then it's better not to serve him. But here's the point, and this is where it's all headed tonight with Malachi and with me. The point isn't whether or not something seems to pay when serving God. The point is, am I pleasing God? Am I doing his will? In our consumer mentality as Christians today, everything's got to have an apparent profit that benefits me, meets my needs, makes me happy, makes me feel good. And then I get involved in a trial of just trying to serve the Lord, and I don't feel happy, and things aren't good. I get upset at God. I become envious of the wicked. But we forgot. The purpose has never been to serve God for what you get out of it. It's never been about serving God so it'll benefit us. And it will, but that's not the point. The point is we serve God because he's Lord. And we serve God to please him. And we serve God to do his will whether we seem to be getting anything out of it or not. You know, this turns on head what's being taught and preached today. But Malachi says we don't serve him for what we get out of it. We serve him to please him. How many believes pleasing God must take precedence over whether we think it pays to serve God or not? Hallelujah. But you know, and I'm going to begin to tie this to the other idea, and that is, yes, we serve him to please him, but we realize that it's not until the end that the real payment comes. You see, I'm all upset because it doesn't seem like it pays to serve God right now. But for the people of God, it's never been about it paying to serve God right now. It's always been about what's going to happen in the end. How many believes payday is going to come for God's people? So, this is where it starts getting good. Because then Malachi begins to deal with responding another way. Another way when you're disappointed. Another way when you've done everything you know to do what's right. You follow the commandments of God. You've been faithful to God's house. You've given your tithes and offerings. You've done all these things, and it doesn't seem to pay. Things aren't working out. Here's another way to respond. Listen to what it says. Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him. You see, you got to catch this. In these very few verses of Malachi, there's two groups of people. We've talked about the first group of people. They get together and they complain about God. They blame God. They accuse God. God's not good. It doesn't pay to be righteous. And they get one another inflamed in skepticism and doubt and envy of the wicked. That's one group of people. But Malachi says, it's not as big, it's not as large, but there's another group of people. And when they get together, they're not complaining, they're not blaming God, they're not pointing. When they get together, they start talking about how good God is and how powerful God is and how wonderful God is. Guess which group Malachi the prophet was in? He was not in that first group that was pointing fingers and blaming God. Malachi was in this group. I want to tell you, when you don't understand why prayers aren't answered, when you don't understand when things aren't working out, don't get with the group that's going to further discourage you. Get with the group that's going to say, I don't understand, but God is good. I don't understand, but God's in control. I don't understand, but God's not finished. I don't understand, but His promise is still true. Because we're talking about the character of God. I want to tell you just right now, in this matter and others, it's all important of which group you choose to talk with about your doubts, about your grievances, about your questions. It matters which group you talk to about those things. Things may not be going well, but Malachi says, we get together and say, God is great. I just want to encourage you now. If you're discouraged about, we all get there. But if you're discouraged about the way things seem to be working or not working in your life in serving God, don't listen to Satan. Get with a group of people that will say, let's just worship God. Let's just sing for a while. God is so good. He's so good to me. Amen. Here's the thing. God takes note. Just like He took note of the group that spoke bad things against Him, He takes note of the group that says good things about Him. And He says there's a book of remembrance. I know we may have flash drives and hard drives and digital data, but I still like the imagery that there is a book of remembrance. I don't know how many times they got together, but do you know God's got a record of everybody that's been to every prayer meeting on Tuesday morning? I've been here 26 years. We've had prayer meeting on Tuesday morning. He's got a book of remembrance, Sister Mary. He knows everybody that's attended. He knows everyone that's prayed to get today and called out on Him. He knows those that have filled the Sunday evening prayer room up before. He knows. He knows when you turned down the temptation today and looked another direction. He knows when you shared your faith with somebody. He knows that even when the devil was attacking you with everything he had, amen, you turned away from his attack and looked up to God and began to sing praise. How great thou art. God keeps, He keeps a book of remembrance. God takes note of those that speak highly of Him. Amen, that have faith in Him. Even when they don't understand, even when things are going badly, amen, they speak good of God. God has taken note of who's worshiped Him tonight. You got to be to worry about. You've got a problem with the car to worry about. You've got a conflict to worry about at work. And yet you've decided, I will speak highly of the Lord tonight. God keeps a book of, aren't you glad our God keeps a record? What's the implication that God keeps a book? The implication is He keeps the book, He keeps the record because there's a judgment. We will see that in the next verse. But that's the implication of keeping a record, is because there's a judgment coming. How many knows there's going to be a day when the books are going to be open? Does it pay to serve God? I don't know why things are going wrong in your life, but I do know there's going to be a day when the books are going to be open. There is a day of judgment. There is a day of reward. Here it is, verse 17. Oh, this gets exciting. Even these that spoke good of the Lord, God says of them, and they shall be mine. They're mine right now, but they'll be mine in that day. What day? What day? The day of judgment. Amen. And when I make up my jewels, amen, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son. That day is the day of judgment. Does it pay to serve the Lord? Don't judge that by what happened today. Judge that what's going to happen on judgment day. And we always talk about judgment in the sense of punishment, and it is that. We talk about how God will take those and put them in their right just punishment. But look what Malachi says here. Judgment is also the day when our God, who has been keeping the book of remembrance, he says, that one's mine, and that one's mine, and that one spoke good of me, and that one stayed faithful, and that one kept praising and believing me. Come, you're going to be the jewels. You're going to be my special treasure. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, sometimes we don't see all of this because we don't know the original words. But let me show you some exciting things in this verse right here. Amen. First of all, I want to look at this part at the end. God said, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. This word spare doesn't mean you're just going to give them a pass. Amen. The word spare means you're going to look at them with compassion and love. And say, I want them. And so you take them out of the danger. And they were under danger of judgment. We all are. Amen. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God, when he sees, he sees us, he's moved with compassion. And that compassion compels us to take us out from under that judgment and to bring us to a place of safety. If you're here tonight and you're born again, I want to tell you, you've been spared. You've been spared the judgment. You've been spared the punishment. Amen. Why? Because God has been moved with love and compassion. Oh, but it gets better. Look what it says here. And they shall be mine. We just see a personal pronoun, a possessive pronoun. That's all we see. They shall be mine. But in the Hebrew, it's a much bigger word. The word is literally, they shall be my special possession. They shall be my special possession. They shall be my chosen treasure. Oh, I can hear the New Testament. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We get that wrong so often. It doesn't mean by peculiar that we're odd or there's something strange about us. The word peculiar means specially chosen. And here God says, those that I've kept a book of remembrance, in that day of judgment, it is going to be seen that they are my special possession. What's so exciting about that? Because in that time and that culture, that word was used of a king's special private personal treasure. You see, a king really in those days, it was all theirs, all the land, amen, all the animals, everything was theirs. But every king had those chests or those compartments or those vaults where he had the things that meant something particularly special to him, a jewel, a coin, precious metals, things that had been given to him by other kings, amen. Each king had his own personal treasure, private treasure. And Malachi says, those that are faithful when it doesn't even seem that God cares, faithful when it seems their world's falling apart, even they're going to be the special treasure of the king. Amen. Take that home with you. Go into work tomorrow with that. Walk down the halls of school with that. Amen. If I'm born again, I am the king's special private personal treasure. How do I know he values me? Because God sent his only begotten son to die for my sins. That tells me he values me. I'm his special treasure. Remember that next time it begins to feel like it's not worth serving God. You see, in the end, we will realize that when we did right, it may not seem like it profit, but the whole time we were his. He had spared us. He treasured us. And in the end, he'll make it right. So let's bring it all together, this last thing shortly. Malachi talks about seeing it all clearly. Here it is in one verse. Then, at the judgment in that day, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth it not. It's not talking about just telling the difference by saying, well, that's someone righteous and that's someone wicked. It's talking about in the judgment. You'll see clearly that it paid to be righteous, and it did not pay to be wicked. You may not see that tomorrow if you get a notice that you've been let go at work. You may not see that tomorrow when the other kids make fun of you at school. But if you'll be faithful to God, there'll be a day it'll not only be clear to you, it'll be clear to everyone. It paid to live righteous. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and come, music. I haven't heard this probably since I was a young man. It's been a long time. And so I don't know how the story originally went. So I'm going to tell it as close to what I can remember. So there was this construction company. And the foreman of this construction company was getting ready to retire. He had worked for this company, this owner, for 30 years. He's just about ready to retire. And the owner of the company says, you know, right before you retire, I want you to build one more house. Just build one more house. And I want you to build it as best as you can. Use the best of materials. Just like you've always built, build it the best you can build it. Well, the foreman said, yes, sir. Got the crew together, made the materials, started to make a materials list, getting ready to build, and it began to eat on him. I've served this company for 30 years. I've served that owner for 30 years. I've never had one moment of special recognition. I've never had a big bonus. I've never had him brag on me at a company meeting. He said, even in the retirement papers, I've already looked, and there's no clause that talks about some severance package, some bonus. And he's thinking of this. He's getting more upset. He's getting more angry. I've served for 30 years, and what things have I got out of it? And so at that moment, he made a decision as he made the material list. He began to scratch out things, and he made a list for the cheapest of materials he could find. Got them out to the site. If the crew nailed it wrong, put it up wrong, he ignored it. In fact, before that, when they were digging the foundation, it wasn't deep enough, but he gave a pass to it. Amen. Just an every step, he didn't follow the blueprint. If something was half done, he let it go. If something could be someplace a cheaper material could be used, he used the cheaper material. Got the house built, his last house he's going to build with the company. Walked into the company office, said, boss, it's built. Here's the key to it. Turned around in anger to leave. And the boss said, hey, wait a minute, come back here. And the boss handed the keys back and he said, because you've been such a faithful servant, I had you build that house for you. See what anger and upset and disillusionment and discouragement can do? It can get you to quit building. See, as we're serving God, we're truly building our eternity. And all of that other stuff can cause us to do a half-hearted, ship-shod type of job. Amen. Can't tell today, but you'll tell in eternity. Hallelujah. Well, I'd like all the special treasures of God. If you'd like to stand, everybody stand. Amen. And whatever you're facing in your life and difficulty, and I'm not minimizing situations, there's some big ones and big temptations and trial. But I want to encourage us to do something. I want us to encourage us to believe we're in that group that however hard it gets, however many questions we have, we're just going to talk good about the Lord. And I want to encourage you right now, whatever it is, whatever you're going through, I want to encourage you with the rest of it. Let's just come to the altar and talk good to God about God. Would you do that? And maybe when you get up, you may want to talk to someone else good about God. Would you do that right now? You say, well, you don't know what I've been feeling lately. Come talk good about God. Would you do that? You don't know what I'm going through. Well, come talk good about God. You don't know what questions I have. Come talk good about God. Amen. Amen. You know what temptations I'm facing. Come talk good about God. He's a faithful God. And listen to Him. He's saying, you're my special treasure. You're my special treasure. Hallelujah. I've chosen you. I've spared you. You're my special treasure. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase. It will be worth it all. Amen. Talk good about God. God, you're good. God, you're merciful. God, you're gracious. God, you're loving. God, you're caring. God, you've given your all. God, you've paid the price. Oh, God, you gave yourself unreservedly. You gave yourself willingly. You gave yourself readily. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Oh, hallelujah.
Because I love Thee, You have given life to me.
I know you may be discouraged, but praise God for His goodness. Acknowledge that you are His special treasure. Hallelujah.
You have given life to me.
Oh, talk good about the Lord. You've given life to me, Lord. You've given life to me, Lord. You've been merciful to me, Lord. You've been kind to me, Lord. What about that day? Oh, what about that day? Hallelujah.
Your touch is what I long for. You have given life to me.
Not because of a parent prophet, but because I love you. You've given.
You have given
your life for me.
Life
and to me, Lord.
To
hallelujah.
Me.
Thank you, Jesus.
I was nothing.
Oh, talk good about the Lord. Hallelujah.
Before you found me.
Which group am I in? Which group are you in?